الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد begin reading this evening seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his blessing al-aslu al-awwal the first principle the author he says rahimahullah ta'ala al-aslu al-awwal al-ihtimam wal-inayatu bi talib al-ilm al-shar'i wal-tafaqquhi fi al-din wal-tafaqquhi fi al-din the first principle focusing on dedicating efforts to seeking legislative knowledge and gaining an understanding in the religion. And gaining an understanding in the religion. Al-aslu al-awwal, the first principle, al-ihtimam. Al-ihtimam wal-inaya bi talib al-ilm al-shar'i wa tafaqquhi fi al-deen. Focusing and dedicating efforts to seeking legislative knowledge and gaining an understanding in the religion. And gaining an understanding and the religion. The author, he says, رحمه الله تعالى, في حين أن كثيرا من الجماعات الإسلامية اليوم منفلتة عن العلم الشرعي وفي حين أن كثيرا من أتباع تلك الجماعات منفلتون عن العلم الشرعي فإن الدعوة السلفية تولي طلب العلم الشرعي أهمية كبيرة إذ هو الركيزة الأساس وإذ هو الركيزة والأساس المتين الذي تقوم عليه الحياة فبناء الفرد وبناء المجتمع لا يقومان ولا يصلحان إلا بالعلم الشرعي. So the author he says رحمه الله تعالى, while many Islamic groups today are disconnected from authentic Islamic knowledge, and many of their followers are similarly uninformed and disconnected likewise from the proper legislative knowledge. The Salafi da'wah, the Salafi call and propagation places great importance. The Salafi call and propagation places great importance on the pursuit of legislative knowledge. It considers this the foundation upon which individual and social life is built. Upon which individual and social life is built and based upon. Individual and collective reform cannot occur without a strong basis in legislative knowledge. Without a strong basis in legislative knowledge. He says, رحمه الله تعالى, ولذا فإن الله أمر نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. And for this reason, Allah, the Most High, He has ordered His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to prioritize knowledge before speech and action. To prioritize knowledge before speech and action. And Allah, He ordered the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to establish knowledge and to prioritize that before every statement and deed. Before every statement and deed. فقال عز وجل, and indeed the Most High, He says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the verse continues, وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And the meaning of this verse, so know, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. There's no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins and for the believing men and the believing women. For the believing men and for the believing women. So it's clear here, Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have knowledge, meaning to learn. Fa'alam, you must learn. You must learn and you must know with certainty and have sound and profound correct knowledge. Fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. You must know with certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This verse here, this noble verse here is in Surah Muhammad. This is the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it has another name likewise. Who knows that name? Some of the people, it's well known by the name Muhammad, but also this surah has another name. The people of knowledge, they know it by. Close. Ah. La. Close. Yes. Surah Al-Qital. Surah Al-Qital, the chapter of fighting. The chapter of fighting. Another question. When was fighting legislated? Before or after the Hijrah? After the Hijrah. So therefore, it's clear that this chapter was revealed after the Hijrah. After the Hijrah. So there's a great benefit here. That means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has already spent 13 years in Mecca calling to At-Tawheed. Calling to At-Tawheed. And then after that, likewise, in Al-Madinah, he continued to call to at-tawheed. And along with all of that, and then before we say that, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he dedicated all of his life and his efforts striving to establish the tawheed in creed and in statement and action and deed. And he was exiled from his home and he was threatened with his life and he lost many family members, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, companions and followers. He went through great hardship and difficulty and exerting great effort in the path of Allah azza wa jalla to establish the statement and the creed and the belief and the deen of Allah azza wa jalla, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. With all of that, still, after these years have passed and this effort has passed, Allah azza wa jalla, he orders his prophet, fa'alam. This is a command, singular. It's a singular command, like directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the ummah is following behind that. But this is a direct order to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. You must know with certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. An indication that the study of a tawheed is something that continues for a lifespan. It's not something that is done for one moment. A person, he will learn it and he's finished. A person, he will strive to establish it and then he's done and he will move on. It's a lifetime duty. It's a lifetime obligation that a person, he must strive to establish and to purify and remain upon steadfast and upright and keep it good and strong. And keep it good and strong. So this verse here was revealed after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point is, Allah, he ordered the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have knowledge before even seeking forgiveness. Before anything else, you must have knowledge. Before anything else, you must have knowledge. We all know the famous chapter in Sahih Bukhari, whenever he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, babun al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Babun al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. وقول الله عز وجل فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله فبدأ بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. And in Sahih Bukhari, he mentioned this chapter with regards to the fact that knowledge, it must precede every statement and action. And he mentioned the same verse here as an evidence for that, رحمه تعالى, clarifying that Allah, he began in this verse with the order for knowledge before every statement and deed. And the knowledge that which is And the knowledge that takes precedence and is most important is the knowledge of at-tawheed. The knowledge that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. The knowledge that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَنَحْنُ إِنَّمَا جَعَلْنَا الْعِلْمَ بِدَايَةَ الْأُصُولِ بِدَايَةَ الْأُصُولِ لِأَنَّ السُّبُلَ كَثِيرًا لِأَنَّ السُّبُلَ كَثِيرًا. He's making a very beautiful point. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that we have only made knowledge the first principle because there are many paths. Because there are many paths. And it is Allah who has ordered and made seeking knowledge and learning the first fundamental. But to understand the sphere, why it's considered the first principle, even specifically in this da'wah here, in this call, is because there are many pathways. There are many pathways, and many of them are ascribed to Islam, and many of them ascribe to Ahl Sunnah. Some of them even claim Salafiyyah. Some of them even claim Salafiyyah. The only way to be able to distinguish between these affairs, any from the deviation of the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and polytheists and the deviant innovators from the Khawarij and the Qadiriyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Murjiyah and the Shia and the Rafidah and the likes like this, and then those who ascribe to Ahl Sunnah likewise, and to As-Salafiyyah likewise, but have deviated, the only way to identify these affairs is with knowledge. So the pathways are many. Their pathways are many. The ways to go are many. We have seen this affair. We have seen this affair in our introduction. So he says, وَنَحْنُ إِنَّمَا جَعَلْنَا الْعِلْمَ بِدَايَةِ الْأُصُولِ لِأَنَّ السُّبُلَ كَثِيرَةٌ وَكُلُّهَا سُبُلَ مُتَاهَاتٌ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. And we have only made knowledge the first principle because there are many paths and all of them lead to confusion. Say all of them, and most of them, and all of them lead to confusion except for the path of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, he says, and moreover, this is my path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. And this is my path, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my straight path, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Therefore, you must follow it. Therefore, you must follow. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ. And do not follow the other pathways. The other pathways. Do not follow the other pathways. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ an sabili, or else you will be separated from his path, or else you will be separated from his path. We know the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khatta lahum yawman khatta mustaqiman, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew for them one day a line, a straight line. Thumma qala hadha sabilullah, he said this is the path of Allah. Thumma khatta an yaminihi khututan wa an shimalihi khututan, then he drew on the right of it lines and on the right, the left of it lines, and he proceeding from that straight line. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadhihi subulun ala kulli sabirin minha shaytanun yad'u ilayhi, at the head of every one of these other pathways going away from the straight path, there's a devil calling to it. So the devil, he's not calling in this manner many times. He's not saying that this is deviation, come on, let's go. This is the path to the hellfire, come on, let's go. He's not, this is innovation, come on, let's go. Rather, he's mixing the truth with falsehood, and he's decorating the falsehood with truth and making it seem appealing. Even those aspects that are clearly forbidden, he still tries to decorate that in the eyes of the weak-hearted and the likes, and with different shubuhats and doubts. No, just fall into the sin now and then repent later, and the likes like this. All of this is going away. There are devils on this path, and they're lying and waiting, and they're calling away from the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So sometimes some of them can be identified, and it can be identified directly, and others, they cannot be identified. But it's as if they're calling to the straight path. The one who does not have knowledge, he will not be able to identify. The Khawarij, they're saying, for example, they want to establish the Sharia and the legislation of Allah, and they want to bring back the Khilafah and the likes like this. So when you hear these slogans and the likes like this, you think that it's something good. But if you look into details, they're calling away from the straight path. They're du'at ala abwab jahannam. They're callers at the gates of the hellfire, waliyadhu billah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the Khawarij specifically as kilab an-nar. Ahsanta, as kilab an-nar, the dogs of the hellfire. The dogs of the hellfire. But what did they do? They recite the Quran, and they fast in the daytime, and they stand in the prayer in the nighttime. Rather, the Prophet, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his companions radiyallahu anhum, that they'll belittle their recitation to their recitation, and their prayer to their prayer, and their prayer to their prayer. But along with that, he said that they're the dogs of the fire. That they're the dogs of the fire. يَقُولُونَ بِخَيْرِ قَوْلِ الْبَرِيَّةِ, they say the statement of the best of mankind, meaning they're saying the best speech, the best words. They're narrating the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they misunderstand them. And by way of them, they call to deviation. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, so a person has to have light and knowledge to identify these affairs, or else he can be confused. And then if he's confused, he will be misused and abused and taken advantage of, and the devil will laugh at him and play with him and use him to mislead others, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, to mislead others, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And the root cause of this is ignorance and lack of concern for legislative knowledge. Ignorance and lack of concern for legislative knowledge. Or likewise, having a lack of concern of looking to where the knowledge is coming from, and not being diligent to make sure that the sources are proper and sound. The sources are proper and sound. This is of utmost importance. This is of utmost importance, because some people, they'll have a desire to learn, but they do not know the right way, and they'll be directed to the wrong people, and they'll fall in the wrong hands, and they're affected. They're affected. Many times the youth, or those who are new to Islam, or those who are new to striving upon the straight path, they're affected by the first one who comes to them. Many times they're affected by the first one who comes to them. For this reason, Ibn Shaw that he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that min ni'matillahi azza wa jalla ala al-ajami. Ala al-ajami wa-shab an yuwaffaqa ila sahib sunnah yahmiruhum alayha. That the great blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal on a non-Arab, meaning a new Muslim or a youth, yani that's starting to go straight and try to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and be obedient, is that they'll be given success to meet a person of the sunnah that will carry them upon the sunnah. That would carry them upon the sunnah, and that would advise them, and that would direct them, and that would teach them, and that would educate them, that would raise them and cultivate them. This is from the greatest blessings. For this reason, the Salaf, many of them, like whenever they would travel seeking knowledge, and on their way there, before they enter towns, in the likes like this, they would supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they would say, Allahumma rizuqani jalisan saliha. Oh Allah, provide for me a righteous teacher. Oh Allah, provide for me a righteous teacher. There are narrations like this in Sahih Bukhari, narrations like this in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, and the likes like. He made this supplication, then whenever he came into the masjid, he sat down next to a sheikh. Whenever he looked around, he asked, who is the sheikh? They said, that's Abu Darda, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he sat and benefited and learned from him. So Allah accepted his supplication. Another from the Tabi'in, likewise, he made a similar supplication. And whenever he came into the town, he found a circle of knowledge, and it was Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that wound up being his teacher. So this is something to supplicate for, to call on Allah and to beg him to provide for righteous and good teachers, for yourself and for your family, for your children, and to save you from the deviant teachers, the teachers that are their methodology and creed is polluted with innovation, or they are affected by personal whims and desires, like we have seen in the previous class in the introduction. You don't want to be tried by the likes of these types of so-called teachers, waliyadhu billah. Mentioning this evidence here, this is very clear. This is very clear. The pathways are many. The pathways are many. And some of them are clear that they're wrong, and others, they're not clear for a lot of people. They're not clear for a lot of people. So he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى السُّلُوكِ سَبِيلِ السُّنَّةِ إِلَّا بِالْعِلْمِ أَلَّذِي يَكْشِفُ الْحَقَائِقِ وينير الطريق. ولذلك قال الله عز وجل قل هذه سبيلي أي قل يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني أنا ومن اتبعني. So he says رحمه الله تعالى that there is no way to follow the path of the sunnah. There's no way to follow the path of the sunnah except through knowledge. You can't follow the sunnah if you do not know what the sunnah is. You cannot worship Allah if you don't know who Allah is. You cannot establish the tawheed if you do not know what is tawheed. You cannot avoid shirk if you do not know what is shirk and that which leads to it. And the likes like this, you cannot establish the sunnah if you do not know the details of the sunnah. You cannot avoid innovation if you do not know the details of innovation and the means of innovation and the fundamentals of these affairs. So it's very important to have knowledge. There is no way to follow the path of the sunnah except through knowledge, which unveils truth and illuminates the path. Which unveils the truth and illuminates the path. For this reason, Allah, He says, say, this is my way. The meaning of which is, say, and قُلْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa say, this is my way. And He say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way. I call to Allah with insight. I call to Allah with insight, I and those who follow me. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي This is my way. This is my methodology. This is what I am upon. This is my path that I am upon. أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة. I call to Allah upon insight. Calling to Allah upon insight. Calling to Allah, this means al-ikhlas. Calling to Allah for the sake of Allah. Seeking the reward of Allah. Not calling to oneself. Not calling to one's party. Not calling to one's clique. Not calling to one's friends. Not calling to one's sheikh. Not calling to anything other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's calling to Allah. Calling the people to Allah, to worship Allah, to know Allah, to surrender to Allah, to obey Allah, to learn the deen of Allah, and to comply in obedience, humbly, before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the call. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ Say to them, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my path. I call to Allah. How is that call? عَلَى بَصِيرًا This is the shahid, upon insight. عَلَى بَصِيرًا Al-basira is insight. We have two words, al-basr wal basira. Al-basr, it means eyesight. Al-basira, it means insight. So just as the eyes can see, they have basr, the heart it has basira. It has the ability to see. It has the ability to see. So a person who is walking down the pathway and he has strong and good eyesight, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, he'll be able to see any dangers or harms in the pathway. And he'll be able, likewise, to identify anything that's beneficial so he can partake in that. So he'll be able to see the harms and avoid them and see that which is beneficial and take advantage, alhamdulillah, because his eyesight is crisp and sharp, beneficial and good. But likewise, as the eyes see, the heart can see. And this is even more important. The fact that the hearts can see, any with insight, with basira, with knowledge and light and understanding and guidance and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the Prophet said, this is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called to Allah. He called to Allah upon insight, meaning upon sure knowledge and correct understanding, any which was revelation and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the verse, Allah, He clarifies in the verse, likewise, أنا ومن اتبعني. Ana wa man ittaba' me, and likewise those who follow me. So the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise they call to Allah, and also they call upon insight. So they do not call to themselves or to any party or clique or anything like this, or any group or any person or any leader or any contrary. Rather, they call like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah. They're sincere and wholehearted in that call, and they do that like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon insight. These are the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We come back to this verse inshallah in a later portion of our classes and discuss some benefits with regards to this in more detail. So he says, فَقَوْلُهُ أَعْلَى بَصِيرًا. So the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, عَلَى بَصِيرًا, upon insight, أي عَلَى بُرْهَانٍ وَحُجَّةٍ, عَلَى بُرْهَانٍ وَحُجَّةٍ وَهُمَا الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ, meaning upon proof and evidence. عَلَى بَصِيرًا, meaning upon insight. What does that mean? It means upon proof and evidence. Upon proof and evidence, not desires and whims, not claims and the likes like this, but rather on sound proofs and evidences. On sound proofs and evidences. What are they? وَهُمَا الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ. الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ. And he says, which constitutes beneficial knowledge. And the reality of these evidences and proofs is that they are the beneficial knowledge. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He received beneficial knowledge and the application of that knowledge. He received, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beneficial knowledge, which is guidance and light, insight and life and nourishment for the soul, and the application of that knowledge. And the application of that knowledge in the religion of truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, that it is he, meaning Allah, who has sent his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, with al-huda and deen al-haqq, with huda, the people of knowledge, like Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his tafsir, he mentioned al-huda here, it means al-ilm al-nafi', al-ilm al-nafi', the Prophet, he was sent with huda, yani beneficial knowledge. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, in the religion of truth, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned al-amal al-salih. Al-amal al-salih. So the Prophet, he was sent with beneficial knowledge and the application of that in righteous deeds. This is to summarize the message of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was sent with. He was sent with beneficial knowledge and the application of that in righteous actions and righteous deeds. So he says, يقول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله, الإمام أحمد, may Allah have mercy upon him, he says, الناس إلى تعلم العلم أحوج منهم إلى الطعام والشراب. He said, رحمه الله, that people are in need of knowledge more than they need food and drink. People are more in need of learning knowledge, seeking knowledge and learning more than they are in need for food and drink. لأن الرجل يحتاج إلى الطعام والشراب في اليوم مرة أو مرتين في اليوم مرتان أو مرتين وحاجته إلى العلم بعدد أنفاسه وحاجته إلى العلم بعدد أنفاسه. He says, رحمه الله تعالى, and this is because a person needs food and drink once or twice a day, but their need for knowledge is constant with every breath. People need knowledge more than they need food and drink. Al-Imam Ahmad, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala. Didn't he clarify the wisdom behind this? The reason why he made this statement? Because a person needs food and drink once or twice a day. And he will survive and be healthy if he has food and drink once or twice a day. He can survive and be healthy if he has food and drink once or twice a day. But their need for knowledge is constant with every breath. The person, he has to have knowledge. At the head of that, the knowledge of a tawheed, and that the command is the command of Allah, that the creation is the creation of Allah, that we're the slaves of Allah, and that we're going to return back to Him, and He's going to ask us and take us to account. And there's going to be a day of recompense and resurrection, and there's a Jannah and there's a Nar. So somebody who forgot this creed right here for one moment, maybe he will deviate and go astray, or he'll say something that will not please Allah Azza wa Jal, or do something that will earn him the anger of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he forgot this affair. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned, كُلُّ مِنْ أَصَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. Everyone who disobeys Allah, then he's ignorant, even if he's a great scholar. At that moment of disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, this proceeding is from ignorance, the ignorance of the majesty and the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal and his right to be obeyed, and that he sees and hears everything and nothing is hidden from him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, he is in constant need for knowledge, to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and to be steadfast upon that knowledge and the application of that. As for his food and drink, then he only needs that a few times in one day. He only needs that a few times in one day. Even the food and drink, if he does not abide by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla and partaking in that, he can go astray as well, or he can harm himself and the likes. He can go astray as well, or he can harm himself and the likes, eating too much and becoming sick, and then he has diseases and the likes like this, and now he can't move, or he can't walk, or so on and so forth. He can barely breathe because he did not follow the guidelines mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to his food and drink, and now he's sick. Now he's sick because of not following this legislation. He forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this, either forgot directly or neglected, and the likes like this. So therefore, even with regards to his food and drink, he needs knowledge in order to handle this affair. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that a believer, he's a person of knowledge. He's following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everywhere we go, we need knowledge. Whenever we sit down with knowledge. Whenever we speak with knowledge. Whenever we walk with knowledge. There's guidance that has come in every aspect of life. Whenever we laugh with knowledge. We have fun with knowledge. We get married with knowledge. If we have to have disputes, we do that with knowledge. We do that with knowledge because those who dispute without knowledge, then they violate rights. And that's from the attributes of the hypocrites. The people of knowledge, they know that because the Prophet, he informed us of this affair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they trick or they betray and the likes like this. So to have knowledge is the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing. Allah, he mentioned to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تُكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And Allah, he taught you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which you didn't used to know. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And the grace of Allah upon you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is tremendous. And for the fact that he taught you that which you did not know, teaching you about the beautiful names and lofty attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that he alone is worthy of worship, and the command is in his hands, and nothing happens except with his permission, and he's alive and never dies. And he's powerful and strong and never weak, and he feeds and he's not fed. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He does not get sleepy or tired. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't have a beginning or an ending. This is the greatest favor and blessing that Allah will provide you with this knowledge and will guide you to this affair. It's been narrated from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 198. He said, أَعْظَمُ نِعْمَةٍ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَى عِبَادِهِ أَنْ أَرَّفَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The greatest bounty and favor that Allah has bestowed upon His slaves is that He has taught them La ilaha illallah. Is that he has taught them La ilaha illallah. Not the La ilaha illallah, that simple lip service. No, he has taught them, they understand, they know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, La ma'buda haqqan illa Allah. They know the meaning, they know the understanding, they know the requirements, they know the conditions, they know that which would nullify it, that which would invalidate it from its foundation, they know that which would bring deficiencies and weaknesses to it. This is the greatest blessing. And they strive to uphold the rights of that, this is the greatest blessing. أَعْظَمُ نِعْمَةٍ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَى عِبَادِهِ أَنْ عَرَّفَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَنْ عَرَّفَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is something that you praise Allah for. Alhamdulillah. You say La ilaha illallah. You say La ilaha illallah. These people out there, they say Jesus is Lord. These people out there, they say Jesus is Lord. وَلِيَذْهِ بِاللَّهِ and they say worse things like that, but alhamdulillah, you say La ilaha illallah. You must show thanks for this blessing and strive to understand that statement properly and correctly with evidence and proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. From the Quran and the Sunnah, because it has a proper meaning, a proper interpretation, and a proper understanding. And as we're talking here in this particular work, there are individuals who ascribe to Islam and they have misinterpreted that very statement. And they go astray. And they call to that misinterpretation. And they go astray and they lead others astray. The very fundamental of the religion, they misinterpret that, they misunderstand that, they deviate in that, and they call to that deviation, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Many people, they're affected by that. They'll say, for example, لا إله إلا الله, it means لا خالق إلا الله. They will say, لا إله إلا الله, it means there's no creator except Allah. And we say, بَلْ هَذَا بَاطِلْ. We say, rather that's falsehood. Is that falsehood? Huh? There's another creator besides Allah? No, there's no creator besides Allah. So what is falsehood then? Huh? Is there another? There's no creator except for Allah. This is their claim. Some of their claim, like the Tabligh, Jamaat al-Tabligh, this is what they're famous for. Some of the Sufis likewise, Jamaat al-Tabligh, they're Sufis in the first place. La ilaha illallah means la khaliqa illallah. There's no creator except for Allah. La ilaha illallah means there's no creator except for Allah. Is that correct? Huh? La ilaha illallah means there's no creator except for Allah. Is that correct? Huh? No, it's not correct. So you're telling me there's another creator besides Allah? No, there's no creator besides Allah. That statement is correct. That statement is to say there's no creator besides Allah. This is correct. What's wrong here? Huh? That's not what it means. That's not what the shahada. The statement is correct. Of course, there's no creator besides Allah. Of course, there's no creator besides Allah. This is very clear. Alhamdulillah. This is ingrained. But that's not the meaning of the shahada. That's the point. That's not the meaning of the shahada. We're talking about the interpretation of the shahada. We're talking about the meaning of the shahada. So that's not the meaning of the shahada. Had that been the meaning of shahada, Abu Jahl would have been from the best of the believers. Abu Lahab would have been from the best of the believers. They would have never fought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. And if you ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who created them? They will say, Allah. And there are many other verses similar like this as well. And if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, indeed they will say, Allah. And this is very clear. So the Prophet, he fought them and they fought him. And they attempted to murder him and they killed many of the companions radiallahu anhum. While they believe that, Allah is the creator. So this is clearly not the meaning, because they're fighting based upon this statement. They're telling him, just don't say this no more. Don't say that statement no more. We'll marry you our daughters. We'll make you our king. We'll give you the money. What do you need? What do you need? They're trying to sell him out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for this statement. So had it meant there's no creator except for Allah, then it would have been no problem with them. They had no problem with regards to that. They already believed in that in the first place. So that's not the meaning. That's not the meaning. That's not the meaning that the messengers they were sent with. What is the meaning that they were sent with? La ma'buda bihaqqin illa. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the meaning of the shahada. There's no God worthy of worship except for Allah. There's no deity worthy of worship except for Allah. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the issue. Ibadah. Ibadah. It must be on La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Or La ma'buda haqqun illallah. There's nothing worshipped in truth, or nothing has the right to be worshipped except for Allah Azza wa Jalla. So everything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any manner, whether it's major or whether it's minor, action of worship, where the thing that is worshipped is major or minor, high and lofty, whatever it is, it's not worthy. And it's worshipped in falsehood. And the only one who's worthy of worship absolutely from every aspect, in every sense, in every manner, is Allah alone. Because He is the creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer, and He's alive and He never dies. He's alive and He never dies. You understand that? So this is the meaning here. This is the meaning here. So many people, they deviate even in the fundamentals of this. And many of the Muslims, they're deviant in the fundamental of this, and they do not even know it. And this is because of a lack of concern for knowledge. A lack of concern for knowledge. If you go back to the first thing he said, many of these deviant groups, they have no lack of concern for knowledge. And many of the followers of those deviant groups, they have no lack of concern for knowledge. As for the Salafi call, then they prioritize knowledge. They prioritize knowledge. Why? Why do we prioritize knowledge? Because Allah, He says, فَعْلَمْ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. After he already migrated to Medina, the verse was revealed. Emphasizing knowledge of aqeedah, first and foremost, of tawheed. فَعْلَمْ O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So knowledge, it takes priority. Knowledge of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ takes priority. Even if you already learned it, even if you already applied it, even if you already called to it, even if you already fought in that way, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا. Don't ever slip or fall from that. Don't ever slip or fall from that. Do never have doubts in that. Do never deviate from that. Do never sell that out whatsoever. Be sincere. Be truthful in public and private, in the market, in the masjid, in the school, in the home, in the office, in the street. Wherever you are, establish that. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is it. This is it. The shahada and la ilaha illallah. This is the favor of favors, and then the blessing of blessings, and the blessing of blessings. So it's of utmost importance to learn what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon in clarity, and to have insight, and then after that, to call to that way. So to have knowledge, like Imam Ahmed, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, is more important than food and drink. is more important than food and drink. Why? Why? Because food and drink? Once or twice a day. Alhamdulillah, you can survive and be healthy. As for knowledge, you need it every breath of your life. Every breath of your life. Every step of your life, you have to have knowledge. Knowledge of what? That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that which stems and proceeds from that. And that which proceeds from that. He says, وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمَ أَنَّ طَالَبَ الْعِلْمِ قِسْمَانِ. He says, and it's essential to understand that seeking knowledge is divided into two categories. The pursuit of knowledge and seeking knowledge is divided into two categories. فَرَضٌ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحَدٍ. That which is obligatory upon everyone individually, وَفَرْضُ كِفَايَةٍ. That which is the collective obligation. That which is a collective obligation. So farḍ al-ayn, there are actions in the religion that's considered farḍ ayn. And he means it's an incumbent obligation upon every individual who has reached the age of puberty and has a sound mind. And has a sound mind, like the five daily prayers. For every individual who has reached the age of puberty and he has a sound mind, salawat al-khams, farḍ ayn alayhi. Farḍ ayn alayhi. It's an individual obligation upon him to pray five times a day. Five times a day. This is an example of that. This is an example of that from the deeds. From the deeds. And then we have after that, farḍ kifāyah. And this is a collective obligation. A collective obligation. The people of knowledge, they mention, huwa ma idha qama bihi ba'du al-muslimin saqata al-ithmu 'an al-baqin. That farḍ kifāyah, the collective obligation, is something that if some of the believers, they establish it, then the obligation falls off the others. For example, salat al-janazah. Salat al-janazah. If a brother or a sister died, it's an incumbent obligation of the people in that community to wash that body and pray on them and give them the right to bury them as Muslims. To bury them as Muslims. But it's not an incumbent obligation upon every individual in that community. If a number of them establish that right in a manner that's suitable, then the obligation falls off the rest of them and none of them are sinful. But if all of them neglect that right, then all of them in that community are sinful. We understand this is farḍ ayn wa farḍ kifāyah. This is from the general aspect. Now with regards to knowledge, there are aspects of knowledge that's considered farḍ ayn. No one's exempted or excused from learning it. And then there's other aspects considered farḍ kifāyah. That is not an obligation upon everybody, but some of the people, they have to learn it. We discussed these issues here in detail in the seminar before this, in the manners of the teacher and the student. So we're just going to move through it briefly with this short reminder. He says, أما الأول فهو الذي يقول فيه شيخ الإسلام محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله كما في الأصول الثلاثة اعلم رحمه الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. الأولى العلم وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. He says, as for the first one, then this is the knowledge every individual must acquire. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, may Allah have mercy on him, said in the three fundamental principles, know, may Allah have mercy on you, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim to learn and understand four matters. The first, knowledge, which is to know Allah, His Prophet, and the religion of Islam with evidence. This is the first one. So that's an obligation upon every Muslim. Every Muslim, male and female, if they reach the age of puberty, this is incumbent to know. Whether they'll be learning these affairs even before they reach the age of puberty. So whenever they reach the age of puberty, they already know them. And they have the fundamentals and the foundations, and they will be fulfilling that right. Here he mentioned, اِعْلَمْ رَحِمَّكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعْ مَسَائِلْ. صح؟ And he mentioned one of them. What are the other three? Who can tell me? What are the other three? Naam. Athani. Al-amal bihi. Al-da'watu ilayhi. Was-sabru ala al-adha fihi. Athani, al-amal bihi. Was-thalith, al-da'watu ilayhi. Was-rabi', as-sabru ala al-adha fihi. Ala al-adha fihi. Ahsant. So these affairs here, there are obligations upon everyone. This here, beginning with the first one, this is what he's discussing now because it's the topic of knowledge. So this is why he mentioned the first one only. You need to learn these affairs here is an incumbent obligation upon every individual to have knowledge of Allah and his tawheed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his rights, and to have knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his biography, in his sunnah, his laws and legal ways, and to have knowledge of the religion of al-Islam, all of these affairs here, with evidence from the Quran and the sunnah, and the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ. There should be an alif right there, huh? It's a mistake in your book. رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهُ. And this is also should be a yeah. There's a mistake there likewise. Correct it. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهُ فَقَالَ يَجِبُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا يَقُومُ بِهِ دِينُهُ قيل له مثل أي شيء قال الذي لا يسعه جهله صلاته وصيامه ونحو ذلك. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله also clarified the type of knowledge every Muslim must learn. He says one must seek knowledge that establishes their religion. When asked for examples, he said what they cannot afford to be ignorant of, such as their prayer and fasting and similar obligations. To summarize, whatever a believer is going to get involved in one day and one night, he must learn the rights of that before engaging and getting involved. Whatever he's going to get involved in. If he intends to make Umrah, he needs to learn the obligations and the rights and the pillars and the conditions and the pillars of Umrah. If he's going to make Hajj, it's incumbent before he goes on that journey to learn the rights of Hajj so that he can perform that upon insight. If he's going to start a business, he needs to learn the rights of business with regards to that which is lawful and that which is forbidden, the fundamentals of that. As for if he's not going to get in business, then it's not necessarily an obligation upon him at that moment. Rather, if he's going to be a doctor, for example, now he has another obligation that he must learn the issues related to medicine and the field that he's going to be involved in, that which is lawful for him and that which is not. That which is lawful for him and that which is not. So whatever he's going to be involved in one day and one night, that's going to become an obligation upon him. In this manner like this. But even before that, there are obligations that one he's going to face regardless, like the knowledge of a tawheed, and likewise the knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general, and likewise the prayer, the tahara and the prayer, and so on and so forth. These affairs here, basic obligations that a believer who perform every day, he must learn these affairs, it's an obligation. He must learn these affairs, it's an obligation. As for the learning the laws of inheritance and the details of that, it's not an obligation upon everyone. This is an example of a type of knowledge that's considered fard kifayah. It's a collective obligation. Some of the believers, they must learn that knowledge and establish that knowledge and handle the affairs with regards to that. And if they were all negligent, then they will all be sinning. But if some of them establish it, then they fulfill the obligation and lift the responsibility and blame off of the rest. So those who seek knowledge and learn the obligatory knowledge, and they continue to learn the non-obligatory knowledge, likewise, or the fard kifaya knowledge, and they bear and carry that, they're lifting the burden. They're the ones Allah has chosen to lift the burden off the rest of the ummah to carry this great right. So they have achieved a high and lofty status. And for this reason, Allah, He says about them, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا عَلِمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah, He raises those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge in ranks, and those who have been given knowledge in ranks. So from the means to have a high and lofty status in this life and the hereafter with Allah Azza wa Jal is to seek knowledge with sincere faith. Is to seek knowledge with sincere faith and to strive against one's soul to uphold the rights of that knowledge after learning. So he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَالَّذِي يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِهِ كأصول الإيمان والشرائع الإسلام وما يجب اجتنابه من المحرمات وما يباح أو ما يحتاج إليه من المعاملات ونحو ذلك يجب أن يكون الإنسان عالما به. Therefore, that which is incumbent for a person to work by, including foundational beliefs, Islamic obligations, any of the sacred rites that must be performed, prohibitions and permissible matters and daily transactions, and that which is similar, it is obligatory for a person to know these affairs. The author, he says, وَسُؤَالُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَسُؤَالُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ الْعِلْمِ. And asking the people of knowledge is from knowledge. فَمَنْ سَأَلَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فَقَدْ اسْتَنَارَ لِدِينِهِ وَفَعَلَ مَا يَجِبُ alayhi. So whoever asks the people of knowledge about his affairs that he's unaware of and does not know, then his religion will be enlightened and he has fulfilled his duty. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى, Allah the Most High, he says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِي إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So therefore, ask the people of the scripture if you do not know. If you do not know, بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُورِ, with clear signs and books, any that we sent to the messengers. He says, رَحِيمُهُ فَهَذَا هُوَ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي هُوَ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحَدٍ. So this is the type of seeking knowledge, which is an obligation upon everyone. Which is an obligation upon everyone. Referring to the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Ibn Majah. طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. That which has preceded is the explanation of that narration. Which aspect is obligatory on every Muslim and that which is not. And examples of that. So he says, رحمه الله, وأما الثاني وهو فرض كفاية من العلم فهو ما دون ذلك والاشتغال به أفضل من الاشتغال بقربات دوافر العبادات على الصحيح من أقوال أهل العلم. And as for the second type, then this type of knowledge refers to areas that go beyond what is individually obligatory for every Muslim. Pursuing fard kifaya knowledge is considered more virtuous than engaging in voluntary acts of worship, according to the strongest opinions of scholars. كما ورد عن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله أنه قال تعلم العلم وتعليمه أفضل من الجهاد وغيره مما يتطوع به. Just as has come from Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, he said, learning and teaching knowledge is better than jihad and other voluntary acts of worship. It's better than jihad in the path of Allah when it's not obligatory. So this has been mentioned from a number of scholars. And from them, Al-Imam al-Shafi. And then later after that, Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi. And after that, Ibn Taymiyyah and the likes, rahimahum Allah, that they consider seeking knowledge, learning and teaching to be more virtuous, to be the most virtuous, non-obligatory action of worship. To be the most virtuous, non-obligatory action of worship. Wallahu alam. So he says, rahimahullah, وَنَحْنُ قَدَ دْرَكْنَا بَعْضًا كِبَارَ السِّنِ بِبَلَدِنَا هَذَا مِنَ الْعَامَةِ يَحْفَظُونَ بَعْضًا مُتُونَ الْعَقِيدَةِ كالأصول الثلاثة وكشف الشبهات والتوحيد ويحفظون آداب مشي إلى الصلاة. He said, we have witnessed some of the elders in our country, meaning in المملكة العربية السعودية حرسها الله, among the general populace who have memorized key texts of Islamic creed, such as the three fundamental principles, كشف الشبهات, removal of doubts, and كتاب التوحيد, the book of monotheism. And they have also memorized texts on manners, such as آداب المشي إلى الصلاة, the manners of walking to the prayer. All of these books here are books from Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. He says, وكل هذا من أثار دعوة الإمام محمد ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله ومن بركاتها. All of this is among the lasting impacts and blessings of the call of the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. May Allah have mercy on him. وقد قرر الإمام سعود ابن عبد العزيز الأول والإمام فيصل ابن تركي رحمهم الله دراسة هذه الكتب على جميع المساجد بالدولة السعودية فحفظها ولله الحمد والكبار والصغار العامة وطلبة العلم كما يعرف ذلك كثير ممن اعتنى بهذه الأخبار. إمام سعود ابن عبد العزيز الأول, the first, and the Imam فيصل ابن تركي mandated the study of these books in all masajid across the Saudi state. As a result, by the grace of Allah, both the elders and the youth, the general public and the students of knowledge memorized them. Any they are able to recite them, and they memorized them by heart. The laymen and the students of knowledge, the young and the old, the male and the female, they memorized the likes of these texts. And for a long time in those lands, and this was a great favor and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon them with regards to this, learning the creed and having it sound and deeply rooted in the heart. He says this is well known to many who have studied and preserved these historical accounts. وكثير من كبار السن الموجودين الآن وهذا هو السر الوحيد في بقاء هذه البلاد نقية من أدران البدع فلو لم يكن العامة على علم بعقيدتهم لفشى فيهم شيء من البدع والشركيات ولكن العلم حسن حصين ودرع متين من تحصن فيه وقي شرا كثيرا. Many of the elders still living today are a testament to to this legacy. And this is the key reason why this land has remained pure from the stains of innovation and polytheistic practices. If the general public were not knowledgeable about their creed, innovations and acts of shirk would have spread among them. However, knowledge serves as a fortified shield and sturdy armor. Those who arm themselves with it are protected from many evils. Any meaning by? The permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, وَالطَّرِيقَةُ الَّتِي يُنَارُ بِهَا الْعِلْمُ يَسْعُبُ أَنْ نُحَدِّدَهَا بِحَيْثُ إِنَّ كُلَّ شَخْصٍ يَكُونُ مُلْزَمًا بِاتِبَاعِهَا وَلَكِنَّ أَحْسَنَ الطُّرُقُ فِي نَظَرِنَا هِيَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أُلَمَاؤُنَا رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. The method by which knowledge is attained cannot be strictly defined in a way that obligates every individual to follow the same approach. However, the best method in our view is the one followed by our scholars. May Allah have mercy on all of them. He says, وَفِي هَذَا يَقُولُ الشَّيْخَ الْعَلَامَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ سَعْدِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ كَمَا فِي فَتَاوِيهِ. And in this regard, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Sa'di رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he said in his fatawa, وَتَعْيِينُ مَا يَشْتَغِلُ بِهِ أي الطَّالِبُ مِنَ الْكُتُبِ يَخْتَلِفُ بِاخْتِلَافِ الْأَحْوَالِ وَالْبُلْدَانِ وَالْحَالَةُ التَّقْرِيبِيَّةِ فِي نَظَرِنَا هَذَا أَنْ يَجْتَهِدَ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ فِي حِفْظِ مُقَرَّرَاتِ الْفَنِّ الَّذِي يَشْتَغِلُ بِهِ. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, transmitting the statement of Sheikh al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, the selection of books for a student to focus on varies depending on circumstances and locations. The general guideline in our view is that the student should strive to memorize foundational texts in the subject they are studying. So he says, rahimahullah, to continue. فإن تأذر أو قصر عليه حفظه لفظا فليكرره كثيرا حتى ترسخ معانيه في قلبه ثم تكون باقي كتب الفن كالتوضيح والتفسير لذلك الأصل الذي أدركه وعرفه. If memorization is difficult or unattainable, then the student should review these texts frequently until their meanings become firmly rooted in their heart. Subsequent texts and the subject should then serve as clarifications and explanations of the foundational knowledge already acquired. And he emphasizing the importance of memorizing. Memorizing the summarized and fundamental text. And then if one memorizes those fundamental texts that are summarized in brief, then all of the knowledge that he learns after that will return back to that and be a clarification of that. Will be a detailed clarification of that. So by memorizing these fundamental texts, these are like the foundations for him. These are the foundations, the fundamentals. By memorizing the Qawaid al-Arba, and the Surah Sitta, and Surah Thalatha, and then after that, Kitab al-Tawheed, for example, Nawaqid al-Islam. By memorizing these texts, which are full of ayat and hadith, upon these particular issues in creed and methodology, after that, everything a person he learns and studies in the religion refers back to these affairs, and is a detailed clarification of these affairs. For example, somebody who's studying Umdat al-Ahkam, or he's studying Bulugh al-Maram, these books here are detailed clarifications of Ma'rifatu Deen al-Islami bil-Adilla. Ma'rifatu Deen al-Islami bil-Adilla. Now, this is what we're just talking about, right? It's an obligation to know al-Islam, the religion of al-Islam with evidence. So from the religion of al-Islam is what? Huh? As-Salah, right? Arkan al-Islam. So in these works here, you study the pillar of Salah and Zakat and Hajj. And Sawm and Hajj and the likes like that, and Tahara before the Salat. So these works here and these studies here are detailed clarification of these issues that you memorized in the beginning of your studies. So now you could talk about Usul al-Thalatha in general, or you could go into great detail. And because you study these other books that clarify these Usul in detail, that clarify these pillars in detail. This is what he means, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he says, فَلَوْ حَفِظَ الطَّالِبُ عَلَى قِيدَ الْوَسِطِيَّ لِشَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَثَلَاثَةَ الْأُصُولِ وَكِتَابَ التَّوْحِيدِ لِشَيْخ مُحَمَّدْ وَفِي الْفِقْهِ مُخْتَصَرِ الدَّلِيلِ يعني دليل الطالب والمختصر المقنع يعني الزاد وفي الحديث بلوغ المرام وفي النحو الجرومية. So if the student memorizes in creed العقيدة الوسطية by Shaykh al-Islam and the three fundamental principles in the book of At-Tawheed by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, and in jurisprudence, a concise text such as Dalil al-Talib or Zad al-Mustaqni', and in hadith, for example, Bulugh al-Maram, and in Arabic grammar, Al-Jurumiyyah. He says, the one who does this, وَاجْتَهَدَ فِي فَهْمِ هَذِهِ الْمَتُونَ, and he strives to understand these texts, وَرَاجَعَ عَلَيْهَا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ شُرُوحِهَا أَوْ كُتُبِ فَنِّهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَالشَّرْحِ لَهَا لِأَنَّ طَالِبَ الْإِلْمِ إِذَا حَفِظَ الْأُصُولِ صَارَ لَهُ مَلَكَةٌ تَامَّةٌ فِي مَعْرِفَتِهَا وَهَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ كُتُبُ الْفَنِّ كُلُّهَا الصِّغَارُ وَالْكِبَارُ وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَ الْأُصُولَ حُرِمَ الْوُصُولَ. So the student, and along with that, would strive to understand these foundational texts and review them with available commentaries or related works. This approach allows the student to develop a strong grasp of the subject, making both simpler and more complex texts in the field easier to understand. Conversely, whoever neglects foundational texts will struggle to reach a deeper understanding. He mentions in closing, rahimahullah, فَمَنْ حَرَصَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْعُلُومَ النَّافِيَةِ وَاسْتَعَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعَانَهُ وَبَرَكَ لَهُ فِي عِلْمِهِ وَمَنْ سَلَكَ فِي طَلَبِهِ لِلْعِلْمِ غَيْرَ الطَّرِيقَ النَّافِيَةِ فَاتَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْأَوْقَاتِ وَلَمْ يُدْرِكْ إِلَّا الْعَنَاءِ كَمَا هُوَ مَعْرُوفٌ بِالتَّجْرِبَةِ وَالْمُشَاهَدَةِ انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. Whoever pursues this beneficial methodology and seeking knowledge, and he seeks the help of Allah along with that, then he will find success and blessing in his studies, meaning Allah will grant him success and bless him in his efforts. On the other hand, those who follow unproductive methods, and contrary to this way, in their pursuit of knowledge, they will waste their time and their effort, gaining little benefit, as is well known through experience and observation. If we remember in our previous seminar, when we studied the previous work of Shaykh Abdus Salam, rahimahullah, Obstacles in Seeking Knowledge, he mentioned the same text here. He mentioned the same transmission under the obstacle seeking knowledge gradually, the obligation of seeking knowledge gradually. Many people, they hasten to seek knowledge, and this is an obstacle in the path of knowledge, and the advice is to seek knowledge gradually, little by little, and this is what he's referring to here. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.